The following program is brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and the views and opinions may not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station.
Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, American Airlines changes the contract between you and the airline, and there are some things you need to know about it. Delta wants other airlines to coordinate no-fly lists, and if you're comfortable traveling by train right now, Amtrak has a great sale on fall fares.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, Mark talks about his recent trip to the middle of the country to scout out a future baseball tour and has some observations on regional differences in COVID protocols and asks why. I'm going to ask him why he thinks it's so important to visit destinations before sending his travelers there.
At 3:35, we'll tell you all about something for the whole family, the local pumpkin train.
Fulton Avenue Cruise Fest is coming up. Steve LaRosa fills us in with that and other local activities.
Slowly, carefully, vaccinated people are traveling again. We have the updates along with fun things to do locally. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets.
To Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
All I want from them and men.
I come from a land long ago. I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for joining us on this sunny Sunday. Sunny Sunday in Sacramento with the air show flying high above Mark Hoffman's head.
Not high, flying low over my head.
That's true. They do fly low. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I think earlier one of them, they were doing reconnaissance to see if the roof was long enough to be able to land on. I'm certain of it because everything was on the walls was rattling. For those of you who might be listening from someplace other than Sacramento, the annual air show is going on at Mather Field today. And our office, which is where I'm broadcasting from, is in very close proximity to the field. And we apparently must be lined up directly with the end of the runway. That's the only thing I can think here, because they have dive bombed me three or four times here in just in the last couple hours.
Well, generally, and I've been to the air show a lot, around 3 o'clock is when either the Thunderbirds or the Blue Angels will do their routine. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the big planes, those that make a lot of racket, 3 o'clock after a long day of a lot of other things going on, this will be it.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, we have two this year, the mm-hmm. Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds, Stephanie.
You're in a different time zone there, Mr. Romano, but it's 3:07 here in Sacramento. So to our audience, if the line goes quiet on the other end, it'll just mean that the somebody came up a little short of the runway, or they decided to actually use the roof as a landing pattern. Hey, Grandpa.
Yes.
Speaking of something we talked about last week, how did things? You're in San Antonio. When we last left you, you and Stephanie were waiting to become grandparents, so we need an update.
Yes, we are here in sunny San Antonio. Weather's good, and Evelyn arrived a week ago tomorrow, so she's all of 6 days old. All went as planned and quite well. She's got all of her digits and has a real strong lungs, just like her grandpa. Can make a lot of racket when she wants to.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, she's a beautiful baby. The mom and dad are doing wonderfully. They, there's a lot of challenges, as folks know, with newborn babies. And of course, it's been so long since Stephanie and I have had children. Mm-hmm. We have to double check ourselves from time to time if we think about offering any advice at this point in time, because we go back to the days of VHSs and and analog phones. Uh-huh. So with that being said, in regards to giving advice to new parents in today's world, all of our information on the whole is pretty well outdated. So, you know, we're having the time of our lives. There's nothing like the joy of holding your first grandchild in your arms and staring down at her and thinking about what the future will bring.
Well, congratulations to you and to your wife. And I have a congratulation to go out of a similar, a little different type today. I think we may have a couple listeners in Georgia listening to the Travel Guys today. And if we do, a happy 90th birthday today to Beth Whitehead, who is the mother of my business partner, Clayton Whitehead. And has become known on our tours. She goes along from time to time. Some of them have stopped in her city, and so Beth is known as Toot, known around sports leisure land. So happy 90th birthday to you. So you celebrate one coming in, and I celebrate one that's made it all the way to 90. So congratulations.
That is outstanding. So yes, happy birthday if you're listening, and you have a wonderful son in Clayton, and who loves you dearly. And I'm always excited to look at pictures on the Sports Leisure page with Clayton and his mom. And
Let's move along here. We're not going to have time for the travel news.
Okay, with that being said, here's Mark in the travel news. Get it on, buddy.
All right. Delta Airlines, how come we didn't think of this department? Delta Airlines says they've got over 1,600 people on their don't fly list, but it's come to their attention that when they bar somebody from flying on their airline, there's not a darn thing to keep Joe Troublemaker from going down the street and getting on the other guy's airline and making trouble over there. Delta says, wouldn't it be a great idea if we all compared don't fly lists? Mm-hmm. And if you couldn't fly on one airline, you couldn't fly on any airline. What
oh,
an incredible
good.
Idea.
So obvious.
Yeah, I kind of thought they were doing that to start with, but apparently they were not. So hopefully Delta's gotten somebody's attention here. There was a hearing Friday in front of the House of Representatives Committee on Aviation, and so this kind of came out. Let's hope that Delta is able to get the other airlines to share that information with them, because I think that would serve as a pretty big deterrent to people. It's one thing to be the congresswoman in Alaska who isn't smart enough to figure out that the airline that you're giving grief to every time you fly is the only one that flies the route you need to get to the state capital for 8 months out of the year. But if you knew that by being a turd on an airplane, you were not going to ever get to fly on another airplane again, that would cause maybe some people to think twice. At least I hope so. American Airlines has made a really dramatic, it's a little thing, but it could really come back to bite you. They have changed their contract of carriage. Now, this is something I confess I read one time. Years ago, we had a story on the Travel Guys that involved contract of carriage, and I went in and read about half of one, and after about an hour and a half, I fell asleep. It basically outlines what the airline has to do and doesn't have to do in its agreement with you buying a ticket. And so it's your contract with the airline. It's called contract of carriage. It's publicly available to you at any time, like I said, if you can weed through it. But American Airlines has made some not so subtle changes to the contract of carriage here very recently. And what this could do is, the way it impacts you is that in the old days, a lot of times airlines, if there was a mechanical and a flight was delayed and it was an overnight delay, it was something that the airline could control, not weather related or something like that. They would give you a hotel room, or they would say, look, there's 100 people here. There are 5 hotels on this list.
Hey,
book a room in one of them.
Temporarily muted.
Book a room in one of them. And when you figure out, when you get the bill, send it to us and we'll refund the money to you. So you didn't have to stand in a long line and wait for 100 vouchers to be issued at 11 o'clock or midnight or 1 in the morning or something like that. No longer that. If you don't get the voucher from American, you can't do anything yourself. Also, here's another thing. American has basically said, if you get somewhere and we can't get you back or if we can't get you there in the first place, all we owe you is a refund of your ticket. So let's pretend that you fly to Poughkeepsie and your return flight gets canceled. And so now on American, and now you have to be back that day. You can't wait for Americans putting you on their flight the next day. So you say, well, I'm going to go ahead and buy a ticket to get home, except that last minute ticket on another carrier costs you a ton of money or a ton of your precious miles or a ton of some kind of currency. And so American just says, we're just going to walk away from it. Traditionally, the legacy carriers, American, Delta, United, I would include Southwest and probably Alaska on that list now, have taken a little bit better care of their customers. What this basically does is says American Airlines, if you're flying them, has more reasons to just let you be on your own. Here's your money back. Good luck to you. It's $80 billion that taxpayers gave the airlines. American got a big chunk of that. So this is their thank you to you, American public, is that they're just going to leave you where you are. More importantly, if you are an American Airlines traveler, and or you're planning on flying American Airlines sometime soon, you might want to go to travelguysradio.com. There is a link there to an article that will summarize the changes for you, and you can look at them and decide if those are important to you, and next time decide to travel with another carrier, or if you decide they're not important, why then at least you'll be informed. But there's kind of a recap there at travelguysradio.com. You'll find that link. If you are an American Airlines frequent flyer, I strongly suggest that you look into this because the chances of it biting you in the butt someday are really, really good. All right. Princess Cruises is about to resume their first cruise from the port of Los Angeles since the pandemic started or since they shut down in April of 2020. Southwest says they want to hire 10,000 workers for next year, but they're having a problem finding those people. And if they don't get them all, they may have to cut some of the flights next year. If you'll recall, Southwest, Spirit, American had some big problems, and more recently towards the end of the summer, airlines that had problems because they didn't have enough staff and they tried to run too many flights and they got caught. And so a lot of people got flights canceled, got delayed, took them too long to get there. See what we're talking about here? So American has decided that the next time they screw up and leave people scattered all over the country, you're on your own.
Yeah, not our fault. You know, you did read that.
Even
that
if it was our fault, even if it is our fault, it isn't our fault. And good luck to you. And finally, I'll close out the news here with Amtrak is really having a good fall sale. If you are somebody who enjoys long distance travel by train, if you depart before November the 18th, a variety of coast-to-coast train trips are available for you. Like, for example, the Coast Starlight from Los Angeles to Seattle is only $63. Sacramento's sort of in the middle of that. So that's just for a seat on the train. If you get a sleeper or something, it's a little more. But the trains are empty right now. So if you're thinking COVID and stuff like that, why, this might be a time to travel on the train. Anyway, Amtrak is having a really special sale right now, and that is your travel news for today.
Yeah, and speaking of trains, later on in the program, we're going to talk about the pumpkin train that's right nearby. But coming up next here on the Travel Guys, in our Smarter Travelers segment, Mark has visited the middle of the country, and we had some observation on regional differences in COVID protocols. You know, and I'm going to ask Mark about why he scouts out these trips before sending travelers, his sports leisure vacation travelers on it. I just thought it was just another Mark getaway, but there's more to it than that. And you'll find out what next here on the Travel Guys.
Come away with me in the night.
Hey there, my friends. This is Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. We are the Travel Guys. And by the way, travelguysradio.com for links to special guests and a lot of the stuff that we talk about here on the program. Oftentimes, Mark has mentioned that he'd been out on the road, but not always is he taking folks with him. Mark, tell us a little bit about your recent visit to the middle of the country. You were scouting out a trip there, one of those trips that I was just referring to.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going away with her. She said, come away with me.
come away with you. That's so it. Thought, yeah.
It's kind of. Anyways, back at the ranch. Yes, I had the opportunity to travel around in the middle part of the country about a week and a half ago, putting together what I hope will be a great adventure next year. And I know you want to talk a little bit about that. But before we do, I want to talk about a couple of the destinations that I visited. Kansas City is home of a very special baseball landmark that a lot of people don't know about. It's the Negro Leagues Museum. The Negro Leagues, of course, were before baseball was integrated by Jackie Robinson and a host of other ball players around 1950. There were separate leagues for what were then called colored players. And in the Negro Leagues were populated by some amazing players, some of whom have been installed in the Hall of Fame. In fact, last year, baseball decided that the Negro Leagues, that the statistics compiled by players in the Negro Leagues were so legitimate that they would include them in players who had made it to the major leagues in their statistics. So that was kind of a big step. Kansas City Negro Leagues Museum is really cool. It shares a building with the Jazz Museum. So if you happen to be traveling with somebody who isn't a huge baseball fan but is a jazz fan, then you can get lost in one side of the building while they get lost in the other side. If you're a baseball fan, it's a must stop. And they had a special room that had an exhibit of all of the other leagues, the Latin American leagues and the Cuban leagues and all of the other spinoffs that weren't players that weren't allowed to play in the major leagues for many years. And of course, there was a lot of talent there. And there were some amazing stories from players who eventually did get into the major leagues in the middle of the century. I really enjoyed that part as much as I enjoyed the main museum. If you're a baseball fan, you got to stop there. And if you go there in Kansas City to the Negro Leagues Museum, you pretty much have to go to Arthur Bryant's for barbecue. First of all, Kansas City, you can get barbecue is practically on. There are more barbecue places than there are fast food restaurants in Kansas City. But Arthur Bryant's is a very famous barbecue spot. I'm not here to tell you that it's the best barbecue in Kansas City, but it's good barbecue, and it's right down the street from the Negro Leagues Museum, and it's in that same neighborhood, and it just feels like some place that you're supposed to visit on that particular journey. So Arthur Bryant's is a great place. And then we hopped a plane. I think my traveler is going to travel by coach because he'll just get to see a lot of the country. But we got up to Iowa, and we went to Dyersville, which, of course, just outside of the little town of Dyersville, is the home of the Field of Dreams. And besides being in a movie, the subject of a movie 30 years ago, of course, Major League Baseball played a game there this past summer. And it's really a special place. It's a little different than it was the last time I was there 10, 15 years ago. There's a gift shop now and a little refreshment stand that didn't used to be there. But the field is still there. The house that all the scenes were shot in are still there. The corn was still high when we were there in September. Pretty much the corn had been harvested, but they hadn't cut it all down yet. But so it looked like and felt like the Field of Dreams. A senior team was getting ready to play a softball game that night on the field. It's if you're a baseball fan, before you die, you have to go there. I mean, you have to put it on your bucket list. Anyway, next year we're going to start in Kansas City, and then go to Iowa, and then to Wrigley Field, which is fairly close by there, and then on to Cooperstown for the Baseball Hall of Fame, and finishing up in New York City for a night. So that's going to be our trip next year. So that was my purpose, was to get out, and it was a fruitful trip, to say the least.
Good. Well, look, while you were on the trip, you probably made some observations on regional differences in COVID protocols. What did you notice?
When it comes to the middle of the country, grab your ankles and kiss your rear end goodbye. People don't wear masks in most places, and so if that really bothers you a lot right now, then get vaccinated and wear a mask. That's all I can tell you. They're either all vaccinated or they're all trying to kill each other. I'm not sure which.
All kidding aside, I used to think that when you headed out and it wasn't a sports leisure vacations, you were just going off to play a little bit. But I know you were scouting out these adventures. And why don't you tell our listeners the importance of visiting destinations before sending travelers there?
Well, on this trip that I just made, it's a really perfect example. I had picked out a hotel that was real close to the ballpark in Kansas City. While we're there for the Negro Leagues Museum, the Royals will be in town, and my travelers love to walk to the ballpark. And so I picked out a hotel that I thought was in easy walking distance. Turns out it was the top of a long hill. And also turns out the hotel was kind of a, I'm sorry to say it, but it was a dump. If you're going to Kansas City, it's the Best Western Premier at the stadium. Don't stay there. It's not in very good shape, and it's not likely to make a comeback anytime soon. So that's my tip there. But importantly, that was the hotel I had selected for a lot of reasons, and when I got there for a lot of reasons, I could tell that it wouldn't work. So now I have time to make a different selection, found a lovely Hilton Garden Inn in Independence. When we travel, we try to stay in modestly upscale hotels, nice places. Occasionally we'll pick up a Marriott or a Sheraton or something like that, or a Hilton. But we're trying to stay. It's more fun to spend your money on special things. Like when I'm out on a scouting trip, I can go to the Negro Leagues Museum. I can sit down with the curator and I can say, I'm bringing these people here. They're going to see your museum. They're going to see the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Do you have something that you can do to make this special? And he said, oh, yeah. He said, I can make your visit here. He says, if you're going to Cooperstown, we need to book in this and make it really special for your people. So he said, there are some things I can show you and some stories. Most of the guys who played in the Negro Leagues are not with us anymore. So, but he was almost excited. So that's why you go out and check these things out, is because you find out, oh, the better restaurant was the one across the street. And you didn't even know that existed. Or you got to meet the person, and now because they know you personally, they feel like that if you came all that ways to talk to them, that they would be happy to help you give a better experience for your customers, and that makes our trips have better value. So that's why.
Well, that's great information. Thanks for sharing. And it does show that you do your homework, I guess you might say, and that as a result, it should turn out for a better experience. That's good to know. All right, coming up here on the Travel Guys, Pumpkin Train time. Fulton Avenue Cruise Fest, Steve LaRosa joins us. That's all right after the news, coming up next here on the Travel Guys. Welcome, everyone. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys here, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Remember now, links to our special guests at TravelGuysRadio.com, and we've got one on the line now, my buddy Rob Peterson there. Hey, Rob, how's everything in the train world?
Hey, everything's going great. Good afternoon to both of you. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. It's been a while. My family got out and did the bike rails a couple of times. What a fabulous, fabulous time we had, and now it's time to turn the corner. It's almost Halloween. Mark, take it away.
Thank you, Thomas. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Brandon Crawford just hit a 3-run homer for the Giants. The Pumpkin Patch Express is coming to town. Actually, it's already here. Rob, tell us about this great opportunity for families to come out and do something fun for Halloween.
Yeah, no, it's a holiday time with the River Fox train. So it's a for the entire month of October, every weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we'll be running the Pumpkin Patch Express trains. You come out, take a train ride, enjoy the park. We encourage everyone to dress up. We've got a costume contest, snacks to eat. It's an opportunity for a picnic if they like. Then everybody gets to go home with a pumpkin in hand.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So this is something that people of all ages can enjoy. Of course, right now, COVID going on. So explain to our listeners why it's okay to come out and enjoy all of the aspects of the Pumpkin Patch Express.
Yeah, we follow the social distancing. When you're aboard the train, everyone is masked up and you're seated accordingly. We do follow all of the TSA standards, so it's very similar to traveling on an aircraft. Everything is super, super safe. And then on the park, we spread out over 5 acres, so it's a very wide open space, and everyone can enjoy the festivities at a safe distance. So super, you know, good time, great thing to do at this time of year. And I know last year we had many, many families came out and were thankful that we were there, and they really had a good time.
Rob, I know that you have a couple of different trains there that you've used for, like, a dinner train, and one that you have wine and maybe some live music. Which particular train are you using for the Pumpkin Patch Express? Is it the open air one? Tell us a little bit about the accommodations, if you will.
Yeah, right now the consist is it's split. It's four open air cars, and then I do have the enclosed cars available if somebody wanted to be climate controlled. Those are available. What generally this time of year, it's so beautiful. Most folks enjoy the open air, sitting out there, and then we have concessions aboard, so a beverage of their choice and perhaps a snack they would enjoy while they're riding along. So the open air is generally the folks' choice for sure.
I want to ask you about the Christmas train, because that's not very far away. But first, I want to ask you, Rob, what is the Pumpkin Patch Express? Give us an idea of what that experience costs.
The adults is 39, and then the children are 29. So it's, and then, you know, of course, the little ones are much cheaper. Family, there are discounts for large groups.
Do you need reservations for the train?
Yeah, you go to riverfoxtrain.com, and you can pick any of the dates on the calendar that are available and book it. We also have 800 number available too, if you want to call and talk to a live person. I have folks that answer the phones all day long. So, but either way, yeah, you definitely want to reserve ahead of time. Like I said, pick a date. We've got 10 dates available, all of the weekends in October. So the Saturdays and Sundays, we will continue to run, on Saturday evenings, alternating beer and wine trains. So, Saturday has 2 day trips, and then Sunday has 3 of the Pumpkin Patch Express trips.
Cool. And then I know, Rob, and I don't know if we'll get a chance to talk to you between now and then, and tickets will, if they haven't already gone on sale, will go on soon. The train, the Christmas train last year, I heard from, a number of people who went out and took and made that part of their Christmas experience. For what you know about what you're going to do, can you tell us a little bit about the plans for the Christmas train?
Yeah, absolutely. And the tickets, yes, are on sale. We began earlier in September. The tickets went on sale, and we've got pretty much, we start Thanksgiving weekend and go all the way up to the 23rd of December. But the Christmas experience, I will have Santa back on board. Last year I had him in the park up until the shutdown, but this year Santa's going to join us, and he's going to visit with all the families going throughout the cars. And each car has a performing elf, and so we've got games planned, we've got sing-alongs, we've got hot cocoa and cookies, and you get to write your letter to Santa, and then you get to deliver it to him personally. So it's going to be a really fun time for family.
Wow.
That's great. You guys always got something new up your sleeve. Of course, the Christmas train's been around for some time, and I'm assuming that the rail bikes will still be available. So you got is that true?
Yeah, the rail bikes run year round, weather permitting. We can go in the rain sometimes, but it's hard to get traction on those rails. So
okay, and Rob, you've mentioned the station a couple of times. Tell our listeners where the station is located.
We're located, we're the off-ramp just past the Sacramento Airport. I always tell folks that you cross over the river and we're at the County Road 22 exit. So it's West Sac, but it's definitely kind of the northern part. So you're traveling on I-5 north, you pass the airport, and you've got to look for us, because when you're on the bridge, you can look down and see the train and the park and all the festivities. Exit, and then the signs will direct you right into the park.
Yeah, you know, not only is it a great outdoor experience with the trains and all, but just the drive out there is very, very pleasant as well, going out and finding the River Fox train. So you'll enjoy it. And if you've never been out into that area, you never had a reason to, you'll be surprised at how beautiful it is. And anyway, well, good luck here. I can't wait to get back to California here and get on the Pumpkin train before it's all over with.
It's called the Pumpkin Patch Express. You can get on it weekends now through the end of October. And then, of course, as Rob mentioned, the Christmas train. Rob, thank you so much for taking a few minutes of your time out to join us this afternoon. Appreciate it, sir. Rob Peterson, the general manager from the River Fox train. Good luck, Rob.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Well, all right. And again, travelguysradio.com. You'll find links to the River Fox train and all the activities that they have going on there. All righty. Coming up, our buddy Steve LaRosa joins us. We talked about it a few weeks back. It's about that time. It's right around the corner. The Fulton Avenue Cruise Fest is coming up. Got some pretty exciting stuff this year. Talk about some other local activities as well. So keep it here. We shall return. We are the Travel Guys. Hey there, my friends. It is Tom Romano and Mark Hoffman, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Again, travelguysradio.com for links to our special guests and a lot more that that we talk about here on the program.
We have been spending a lot of time in the previous months accenting local things to do, just like we are today, because a lot of folks are a little skittish about traveling long distances, especially people with families and small children because of COVID. So we've tried to put an extra accent on local things, but for those of you who are starting to travel now and get away from home, in the weeks ahead, we'll probably be making a little bit of a shift and going to more exotic destinations and things that are a little further away from home, all the while trying to keep you as appraised of whether or not it's great to talk about these destinations, but you have to be able to get there and you have to be able to get home reasonably. And so that's what we'll be here also to help you with. Tom?
All right, and with that being said, we have a special guest that we bring on to take us to local activities. This particular little piece of music kind of sums it up.
What's going on? What's going on? What's going on?
It's Marvin Gaye. So, states, it's time to find out what's going on. Here's my longtime buddy, Steve LaRosa. Steve, welcome back to the Travel Guys, my friend.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Mark. How you guys doing?
Good to talk to you, Steve.
Couldn't be finer. Giants just, the Giants just win?
Yep, they just took one step closer to being the Western Division champions. By this time next Sunday, we'll know for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, we're doing well, Steve. How are you, and what's going on, my friend?
Well, I'm doing fine, and I'm back again to tell you a little bit about a great event coming up on Saturday, October 2nd, and it's Cruise Fest on Fulton Avenue, and they call it Northern California's premier car cruise. And it's, again, this coming Saturday from 3 to 7, and basically what happens is they close off Fulton Avenue from El Camino to Marconi, mm-hmm. and the cruising itself takes place from 3 to 5. Now, I should mention that every week, well, actually almost every night, you can find a car show or a car gathering just about anywhere in our area. But what sets this event apart is very few actually are involved with cruising. And they anticipate at least 300 beautiful custom and classic cars. And after they cruise, they park, and since the boulevard is closed off, Fulton Avenue is closed off, people get to walk around on the street and take a close-up look at some of these cool cars.
Steve, I have a question for you now. Back in the American graffiti days, down in Modesto, we used to cruise down 9th Street one way, make a turn, cruise back up 10th Street the other way, and do that most of the night, leaning out the window, making eyes at the little girls. And the Cruise Fest on Fulton Avenue. Now, you say this is an actual cruise where people go one way. What are they head down one way, and when they get to the end of the block, turn around and come back? Give us a visual as to how this is a real Cruise Fest.
Yeah, they do. They start either at... Probably they'll start at Marconi, And they go down to El Camino, and there's space for a reversal, and they come back the other direction. Because you may know this, that there's a certain area, a divide, where there's palm trees planted in the middle. So it makes a nice little oval there.
Yeah. Okay, all right, I can see that. And then at that point, I imagine the cars will park, and then you can walk up and get a different view. But the nice thing is that you could stand in one place and watch them go by.
Exactly.
Couple of special vehicles there, and I've had a chance to take a look at them. The one that I find most intriguing, and I don't know if I would want to ride on it, especially if they put the pedal to the metal, and that would be the, let's see, the Save Mart shopping cart thing.
Yeah, it looks unstable, but...
It does.
Yeah, it does. It does look unstable, yes.
Well, there's a 12-foot-tall, mega-motorized 454 Chevy engine, so that adds a lot of stability at the bottom there. And it only goes maybe 5 miles an hour when it's cruising, and you can fit a handful of passengers, and we, as we like to say, a few bags of groceries. But
there you go.
It's a great way to people actually can take rides on it from on occasion, and it's a great way to see the whole darn cruise.
The question is what's how many seconds to 0 to 60 in that baby?
I'm gonna say probably 5 to 10 minutes.
Now, how do you know? Like I say, it's 12 feet. It's 12 feet tall, and I'm looking at it in the photo you sent, and the people are in the basket. And what do you got to get a ladder to get up there?
Yeah, there's the bottom opens up, and he drops this little ladder, and you climb up in there. It's I've done it. It's a kick.
All right.
Instead of talking about a souped-up 55 Chevy, we're talking about a motorized shopping cart. Let's move on.
Well, yeah.
Also new to the Cruise Fest this year, answering the bat signal.
This is what I'm talking about.
It's the 7th replica Batmobile ever built, and it's owned by a local guy, Bob Golsand of Meadow Vista. And there was 14 of them, and these are the Batmobiles that were fully licensed and authorized by DC Comics and Warner Brothers. And this was number 7 out of the 14. And it's pretty cool. And visitors, guests that day will be have the opportunity to buy a raffle ticket and actually win a ride in the Batmobile.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
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 Forget
just looking at the Batmobile. I mean, anybody could do that. I want to ride in the Batmobile.
Now, are you going to dress as Robin?
I'm going right to the top. I'm going to dress as Batman. Just because I'm a little short guy doesn't make any difference.
Oh,
Steve, the Batmobile looks. I mean, that's worth a trip out there, just to see the Batmobile. How many people does the Cruise Fest usually attract? I'm looking at a past event here, and it looks like a lot of folks.
I would say 5,000, give or take, depending upon the year.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty cool. Do people have to buy?
I should mention,
go ahead.
It's free to visiting spectators. Of course, it's a fundraiser for the Automobile Museum. And so you have to register to cruise. And the way you do that is... either call the museum at 916-442-6802 or just log on to calautomuseum.org and scroll down just a little and you'll see a place to register your automobile.
Yeah, and we got a link there at travelguysradio.com. Mark, have you ever been to the Railroad Museum? I'm sorry, what am I thinking? Have you ever been to the Auto Museum?
Yes, yes. For many years, they've been involved in a lot of they kind of promote themselves by getting involved in different things in the community, not unlike what they've done here, although obviously this has a direct tie to cars. So, but that's generally how they promote themselves. I'm not a big car guy, but I think that's a really cool museum.
It is, and a lot of those cars would be ones that you would like to see in the Cruise Fest. Particularly, I mean, there's a DeLorean in there. Not the one from Back to the Future, I don't think. Mark, anybody in the Fulton Avenue Cruise Fest have automobiles that came directly from the auto museum, and they bring them out specifically to roll in the Cruise Fest?
They don't. They usually trailer them over and just park them.
Okay.
As a way of promoting the museum. But wait a minute, you guys. Mark, Tom's kind of being modest here. Hey, he's from Modesto, so mm-hmm. Modest. See what I did
there?
Yeah,
I get it. Yes, yeah. Yes.
So, Tom, come on, fess up. Who did you go to high school with?
Who did I go to high school with? Well, let's see. Do you want me to, on the low end of the ladder, it would be Joe Rudy, recently entered into the Oakland A's Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame. But I would say for more people would probably know George Lucas. And George, who was obviously the creator of American Graffiti, high schooled with me at Thomas Downey High School back in the 60s. Now, we were not best of friends. In fact, he didn't even know me. In fact, I didn't even know him. But yes, I can go to my high school yearbook, and there in the same book, and I feel honored, is a picture of George Lucas, and boy, does he have big ears.
Yeah, yeah. I actually did a story on him years ago. And he was actually, when he was in high school, he was involved in a pretty tough car accident and put him out of commission for a number of months there. But he recovered and went on to great fame. And Tom, you used to cruise the streets of Modesto, the mecca of cruising. What was that like?
Oh, that was big fun. That was 9th and 10th, as I mentioned early in the broadcast, down 9th and back up 10th. It is pretty much like you see it in the movie American Graffiti. Kids from would take their automobiles. At that time, they weren't classic cars. They were just the cars of the day. But as George put it together, you know, cruising was a ritual. This was a mating ritual that went on with young people. And maybe even started before that, but that was what it was all about. That's where a lot of people met their significant others, was right there in the cruise on the street. Nobody going more than 3 miles an hour so that you could get a good look at that girl or at the guy in the cars next to it. Steve, do you have anything else you wanted to mention here on your What's Going On?
Just to say, register at calautomuseum.org or call the museum at 916-442-6802. And remember, it's free to spectators.
All right, it's a wrap for us, Mark.
Dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next week at 3 o'clock.